Welcome to this The Nutrition Business Podcast. My name is Julian Melatin, and today I'm going to be talking to you about one of my least favorite subjects, and that is plant-based meat substitutes. As an idea, it's been like a plague on the food industry since about 2016 to 2017. It's not going to go away, but it's going to settle down as being, as I'm sure you've heard me say here before, a niche business. And that, in fact, is what meat substitutes have always been since they were first created 100 years ago. Many of the brands on the market today date back to the 1970s. But what has happened since about 2010 to 12 is lots of consultancy firms and branding consultants and so-called food futurists and the investment community decided plant-based meat substitutes were going to take a huge share of the meat market. 30% is a number that was thrown around a lot of the time. Well, I'm talking to you today on the 9th of November. And what we can see is that Beyond Meat, which is the brand which has really been the flagship of the plant-based meat substitutes surge of recent years, Beyond Meat has produced its latest set of quarterly results. As usual, it does not show any profit. In fact, Beyond Meat has never made a profit since the company was launched in about 2012. In fact, in the first 9 months of 2023, or at the end of those first 9 months, it has cumulative losses on its balance sheet of 926 million. So that's possibly half the $2 billion that the investors put behind it. This company is so well run and so clever that every dollar of product it sells costs it $1.67 to make. And that means that in the first 9 months of 2023, it produced sales of $269 million, on which it made a loss of $181 million. Start again. And if you look at the company's retail sales in American supermarkets, which is its main market, the downward track of this business is really clear. So in the third quarter of 2023, so that's the 3 months ending 30th of September, it had sales of $30 million. In the same period in 2022, it had sales of $46 million. In the same period of 2021, sales of $52 million. In the same period of 2020, sales of $62 million. So I think it doesn't need a genius to work out. That's definitely a bit of a downward track. What's the problem? Well, Beyond Meat as a company has produced a product which has a long ingredient list, and that's a pity because consumers have been telling us for 20 years they want their ingredient lists as short and simple as possible, and it basically just doesn't taste very good. The challenge that Beyond Meat had, of course, is they told themselves it tasted very good. And the media, which exists to simply reprint press releases, repeated that. So when Beyond Meat really began pushing into the supermarket in the US in 2017-18, lots of people went out and tried the products. And what they found was that the taste was disappointing. And so repeat purchase started to go down. Now, you sometimes hear people who are big fans of the meat substitute business, and they say, oh, well, this is just what you expect in a new market. Well, no, it's not a new market. I explained that before. It's been around since the 1970s. With new technology, no, it's not. It's the same technology that's been around since the 80s, but with a slight tweak. And Beyond Meat is not alone. On average, a company making a plant-based meat substitutes goes into bankruptcy every 4 to 6 weeks. And they're not tiny businesses. Some of them are the same size nearly as Beyond Meat. There's a company called Tattooed Chef, $240 million in sales and in bankruptcy. Beyond Meat and all the other makers of meat substitutes consistently failed to understand the consumer. Their business plans were based on pure conjecture. They simply thought that if we tell people it's more sustainable, that will cause them to switch over. In reality, sustainability is one part of the average person's decision-making when they're choosing foods. And that decision-making includes price, taste, convenience, familiarity, versatility. You know, can I use it inside favorite menus of mine? And they simply ignored all of that and thought that talking about sustainability would do the job. There was one small drawback, of course, which was that they, most of these businesses have been unable to satisfy anyone externally that their products are sustainable. So in the UK, for example, the biggest retail chain called Tesco marketed a range of plant-based meat substitutes, and the claims they were making were the subject of complaints to the advertising regulator. And the regulator decided to look into the sustainability claims, and they had an independent report commissioned. And at the end, the regulator concluded that, contrary to the claims made, meat substitutes were just as likely to be harmful for the environment as some processed animal meats. Another problem is that advocates of plant-based diets and environmental advocates have made one of the classic mistakes of how not to persuade people, how not to get your message across to other people, and that is stridency. So the constant insistence in the media that anyone that doesn't agree with them is killing the planet doesn't go down well, because actually lots of people do try to do their own thing to make the planet a better place, and people just don't like being preached at. And it's a basic fact of human psychology, and anyone who's had teenagers knows this, that when you preach at people, Newton's third law comes into play, which is that for every action, there is an equal but opposite reaction. And the pendulum that swung in favour of meat reduction in the years 2016 to 2022 has paused, and now it's gently starting to swing in most countries in the opposite direction. And that can be seen, for example, in the emergence of a type of consumer called the carnivore, or the semi-carnivore. Now, you may never have heard of them. They skew strongly towards being male, and they're guys who live basically on meat. That's the carnivore version. And there's a semi-carnivore version, which is meat and some vegetables. This may sound to you like a bizarre, exclusionary, and unhealthy way to live. But frankly, veganism is a bizarre, exclusionary, and unhealthy way to live. But these two eating styles are just the opposite end of the spectrum. And perhaps the carnivore would never have been created if people hadn't preached so hard that everyone must become plant-based. You'll often see claims around that the number of people reducing their meat consumption is very high. I saw one earlier today saying that in the UK, the number of meat reducers is about 40%. That's absolutely not true. What people do is they say one thing in consumer research when they're asked, what would you like to do? But when they're in the supermarket by themselves, they often actually do something quite different. So our research is based on finding out what people have been doing recently in their real lives. And it's clear that in the UK, the number of people who are meat reducers is about 24%. And it's quite similar in most countries, somewhere between 22 and 28%. And the number of meat reducers has plateaued. It grew very strongly from 2014 to about 2021, but it's now plateaued. So returning to Beyond Meat. It is beyond amazing that Beyond Meat survives. But it's going to provide us all with a lot of entertainment yet. This business looks like it's got enough money to keep going until 2024. It would indeed be strange if its existing shareholders decided to throw more good money after bad, or if new shareholders were brought in. You would really have to be a mega optimist to take shares in this business. And that's not financial advice, by the way, just a personal observation. One of the reasons that brands like Beyond Meat and many others, like Oatly, for example, in milk substitutes, one of the reasons they exist and they survive is we've gone through a period of 12 years in which in most Western societies, there were ultra-low interest rates, and governments printed money. And the money printing really took off during COVID. What money printing does is, in the long run, it causes inflation. And what low interest rates do, put in the most simple terms, is when money is cheap and the big venture capitalists and the big investors can borrow money at 0.5% from a bank, they're not pressing too hard on their investments to produce a return. So businesses like Beyond Meat and Oatly have gone along losing money. Yep, Oatly loses lots of money, and it's going to lose a lot more from where it is now. But the world has changed. It's actually, in a sense, gone back a little bit to how it used to be, when interest rates were a more normal 5% instead of 0.5%. The money printing by government still continues, and it has produced inflation and will produce more. And at a certain point, investors realize that these businesses just aren't ever going to give them a return on their investment. And often, I think, in food, we think about what consumers want. We think about their beliefs about nutrition, health, and we forget the consumer's ability to buy anything depends on what state their personal budgets are in. Now, remember, products from companies like Beyond Meat are premium priced. All the plant milks and plant cheeses in the market are premium priced, typically 100% of their animal-based alternatives. One of the reasons that sales have grown so strongly for meat and dairy substitutes over the past 12 years is because these were the good times and people were awash with money. People took it for granted that their mortgages would be cheap. There are very few people around who are old enough to remember a real economic downturn. I really think you probably have to be old enough to have been at work in the period from, say, 1990 to 93 to remember what it's like to have higher interest rates and to be worried about your job. That period is returning. And as it returns, people will become more thoughtful about their expenditure. They will ask themselves twice why they're paying a big price for something that probably doesn't taste very nice. I hope you found this enjoyable. Thank you all very much for listening. If you'd like to know more information, please go to our website, which is www.new-nutrition.com. You can find me on Twitter, ranting on like this, under my name, Julian Mellenton. Sorry, it's such a difficult name. Or you can find our company LinkedIn page, that's New Nutrition Business, where we put up lots of interesting stuff. Thank you all for listening, and I hope you have a really nice day.